But we want to introduce a new series for this school year. And, you know, I'm not completely settled on the title yet, but it's going to deal with things above. And so it's going to be pivoting off of Colossians 3:1 and 3:2. And so we're going to look at things above. And, you know, I've started a list, and I have over 30 things that relate to the concept of things above that are important for our Christian life to have some knowledge of, and then to keep that running in the background of our thinking. And so we're just going to call it the things above for right now. And as we'll hopefully introduce today, we'll see that these things above that we're to be seeking and that we're supposed to be setting our frame of mind on, they're going to relate to our position in Christ ultimately. And so I guess before we pray and even dive into this further, let me just read to you Colossians 3:1 and 2 so you can see this reference to things above. And so, of course, Paul here, and we'll have time. We're going to hit this from a lot of different angles. I will come back and we'll pick this up in the context. We'll work the context a little more, but in some of this introduction material, I'm just going to just be a few things that I want to touch on before we do that. But in Colossians 3:1, Paul says, King James, if ye then be co-risen with Christ, or ye be risen with Christ. First off, I would say the word then in the King James, in the Greek, it's actually un, it's therefore. And so then the if, because it's a first class condition, has the idea of since. And so what he's really saying, he says, since. Therefore, since you are risen with Christ. And so you are co-risen with Christ. And we'll have to talk about that a little bit. How are we co-risen with Christ? When does that take place? But it says, therefore, since you're co-risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And so this idea of seeking, it's to, you know, try to find, seek information. And we see where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, in the King James in Colossians 3:2, it says, set your affection on things above. The word affection, it's not the greatest translation. I typically retranslate this. I usually don't even probably read affection anymore. I just retranslate it. But again, this is another imperative. Is the idea, set your frame of mind. The word affection has the idea of your frame of mind, your reflective thinking. So we're going to have to describe what that is. What is, you know, your frame of mind, your reflective thinking? How do we do that? And so it has the idea of, you know, keep seeking, you know, the things above since you're risen with Christ in 3:1. And then in 3:2, it's again, it's the idea of keep setting your frame of mind, your reflective thinking on things above. And then it says not on things on the earth. So it's going to be important for us to understand what this reflective thinking is. You know, what is Paul saying? What is Paul not saying? So if we understand this word that I'm translating, frame of mind or reflective thinking, strictly as attention or focus, well, you could think, well, it's a no-no to think or to have some focus on things on the earth. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul's talking about a frame of mind that affects your viewpoint. It affects your attitude. I'm going to probably use some language. He's talking about what I would call second-level thinking. when we talk about first level thinking, we're talking about the things that are going on that we focus on our daily lives, the things that are going on in the here and the now. The second level thinking is the things that we kind of have our framework that focuses our opinion, our attitude, our viewpoint. That's our frame of mind. And so that's where we have to keep setting our frame of mind on things above. And this is going to be related to our position in Christ. This is what 3:1 is kind of reminding us, is there's things above that we should keep seeking. We're going to be trying to find. Where are we going to find these things? In Scripture. Scripture. And you get a hint of, you know, therefore, since you be risen with Christ, there you have one thing right in that verse that you can be setting your frame of mind on. You can be reflectively thinking in your back. I call it your second level thinking. I'm going to do that just for trying to communicate the difference between what I'm calling first level and second level thinking. This is what's operating in the background, right? You think of a computer. You could be using a program on a computer. Well, in the background, you have an operating system. And so in our explanation, our second level thinking is like the operating system. And our primary or first level thinking is the things that we're focused on that we're doing. For instance, you could, let's talk about driving. You're focused on driving. You have to negotiate the road, and that's your primary thinking. There's can be second level thinking going on as you're driving. And this is where your frame of mind, your reflective thinking can come in. And so we'll see. It's an interesting word. So we want to define, you know, what is a frame of mind or what is reflective thinking. We want to talk about what it's not. And eventually during the school year, we're going to go through all of these things that we can find in Scripture that deals with these things above related to our position in Christ that we can use in our reflective thinking and how we frame our minds. And it affects how we go through things here and now. It affects how we see things, how we interpret things, what our priorities are. So anyway, this is what we're looking at for our new series. And so with that, let me open with prayer and we will take a look at a few other things to introduce this. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word. We're grateful for the opportunities that we've had to be in your word, to be reminded of some of the truths, to be reminded of the provisions of grace, to share with one another. And we just pray your spirit would use this time to bless us, and may your spirit that be the divine teacher, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So things above. And since you be, and I say co-risen with Christ in your English, in Colossians 3:1, you see, if you then be risen. And I'm translating it, therefore, since you be, and it's actually co-risen. It's in the Greek, it's the word for to be raised with a soon preposition that means intimately together. And so it's since you be co-raised with Christ. Now, we'll do more background work going forward, but this is our first hint, though, when he talks about seeking these things which are above. He's not talking about physical things. You know, you've got the explanation. It says where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Some people might want to go into Revelation and, you know, trying to, you know, extract some information about the throne room and so forth. That's not what Paul's talking about here. This is going back. Since you be co-risen with Christ, how is the believer risen with Christ? Well, it goes back to our position in Christ. It goes back to the moment you believe the gospel for initial salvation, you are baptized into Christ. You are immersed into Christ. And so from that instant on, the crosswork is applied to the believer, and God the Father imputes certain things to us because we're in Christ. And the more we learn about these things, these are the things that should be occupying our mind in what I call second level thinking. These are the things that should be framing how we see things here and now. And so, you know, going back to the driving analogy. So we're going down the road and we can be driving, but we can be thinking about a lot of other things. Those are thoughts that are running in the background. You know, if a deer jumps out in front of you and you hit the deer, that's probably going to grab not only your primary thinking, but it's also going to start to affect your secondary thinking for a moment. And this is what can happen in the Christian life. And in the Christian life, we have to realize, you know, there's a lot of things that can affect our reflective thinking, our frame of mind. It can come in. And so our job is to keep setting our frame of mind on things above. Keep coming back to what scripture reveals about who we are and what God accounts to us in our position in Christ. That will make a huge difference on how we experience, how we see things, how we interpret whatever it is we're going through. And so that's kind of the goal is over the school year. We're going to, like I said, I've got over 30 things on the list so far. These are things that you can constantly be reflecting on in your secondary thinking. And you can know, so you know, there'll be things that are going to come up in your life that are going to want to overwhelm your second level thinking. So, I mean, it was mentioned earlier, you know, about the world system. The world system can give us a lot of distractions, right? And we're to use the world system, but we're not to use it to its full. What happens when we start using the world system to its full? It's going to start to affect our second level thinking. It's going to start to affect our frame of mind. And so anyway, there's a lot of fun things that we'll be able to explore in this series. You know, Paul, he mentions in Colossians 3:1, therefore, since you be co-risen with Christ. Now, when we come back and we look at this in the larger context, it's interesting because he ties that back in 2:12 to spirit baptism. And then he gives some things that because of the provisions of grace, you know, we shouldn't be tied up with the ABCs of the world. We shouldn't just be caught up in simple rule keeping. You know, the Christian life isn't about just rule keeping. So let me read Colossians 2:12. It says, buried with him. And again, in the Greek, we get that soon preposition is in this Greek compound word. It says, remember, the soon preposition emphasizes intimately together with. And so when I read Colossians 2:12, I like to just translate it co-buried. It's, you know, buried together. It's just buried with him. It's intimately together with him. That him should be capitalized. It's talking about Christ. Co-buried with him in or by baptism. Now, this isn't speaking about water baptism. This is speaking about spiritual baptism. This is the baptism by the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism that Paul makes reference to over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12:13. And I'm going to save going over in detail 1 Corinthians 12:12, but 1 Corinthians 12:12 is an important verse because it's talking about the believer being a part of a new entity that Paul refers to as the Christ. Now, you don't see that in the English. There's a number of commentators that have made reference to this, have talked about this in the Greek. We've done it. But he explains kind of how the body of Christ is a single unity. It's a single entity. So he uses the human body as an illustration here to demonstrate the spiritual reality of believers being in Christ as one body. So in 1 Corinthians 12:12, Paul says, "For as the body is one," he's talking about the human body, "and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." So the human body ends up being a perfect illustration about how the body and the head are one. And we can look at the human body. We can understand that, you know, many members, you know, fingers, arms, but still one body. And then he says, "So also is Christ." And there's the article in the Greek, though. He says, "So also is the Christ." So he's talking about not just the person of Christ, but he's talking about the person Christ as the head and the members of his body. The Christ is the same way as the human body. He has many members, but one body, one head. There's a unity. And then in verse 13, you see how we got into this new entity. It's by spirit baptism. It says, "For by one spirit were we all baptized into one body." Talking about into the body of Christ. It says, "Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free," and then he says, "and have all been made to drink," and I just cross off the into, "one spirit." So the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, in other words. And so we can also connect this, just so we can see this, and we're introducing this. Let's go back to Romans 6. In Romans 6. And so in Romans 6:3, again, this is talking about spirit baptism. And so what we're talking about with spirit baptism is the moment a believer, an individual, believes the gospel for initial salvation. You know, as we find it in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, that Christ died on behalf of our sins. He was buried and he was raised again. He was raised up, stands raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The moment you believe that, and by the way, God gives you the faith to believe that. But the moment you believe that, the Holy Spirit, now the word to baptize, it just literally means to immerse. So when you are baptized into Christ, you are immersed into Christ. Where were you before you were in Christ? In God's accounting, you were in Adam. You were imputed to be in Adam. But the moment you believe the gospel for initial salvation, the Holy Spirit takes you out from Adam and immerses you, baptizes you into Christ. So now you have a position in Christ, and this is all coming from God the Father's viewpoint. He reckons it to be so. And so the cross work has been applied to you. You're immersed into Christ. And here in Romans 6:3, we see Paul. He says, "Don't you know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death." And so remember, baptized, immersed into his death. In other words, from God the Father's viewpoint, we'll see that it's imputed to us that we participated in the cross work in Christ. And so I'm just touching on this so you can see how you got into Christ. When we go back to Colossians let me go to Colossians 2:12 again. So in Colossians 2, it says, co-buried with him, talking about Christ, by baptism, by this immersion, in whom also you are co-risen with him. And so we can, and we will go through this at some point in this series. You know, we're co-crucified with him. We're co-buried with him. We are co-raised with him. We're also co-seated with him at the right hand and so forth. These are all things that go back to being in Christ. And so when we come back to these key verses that we're going to be pivoting off for the series is, you know, keep seeking those things which are above since you're co-risen with Christ. See, that's your first hint of what these things above relate to. It's since you're co-risen with Christ. So you're co-risen with Christ because you're in Christ. So these things above aren't going to be physical things. These are going to deal with your position in Christ. So you're going to keep seeking, trying to find, seek information about your position in Christ. And then once we find that information, then we want to learn, well, what is that information? And then we have the responsibility. These are what we call in the Greek imperatives. These are strong suggestions, if, you know, and so set your frame of mind. And the idea of the present active imperative, it's like keep setting your frame of mind or your reflective thinking on things above. And this, the setting your frame of mind, it has the idea of holding something in view. This holding in view, it's going to affect your attitude. That's what this frame of mind will do. It's very, very practical. And so I want to come back and I just want to touch, and the time is flying by. But I want to talk about, well, what is this frame of mind? What is this reflective thinking? What can we, you know, what are some of the nuances we can see? Because as I already mentioned, what it's not is it's not just your attention or your focus. You know, Paul's not saying don't pay attention to earthly things. You know, when he says set your frame of mind on things above, not on the earth, he's not talking about first level thinking. You know, he's not saying don't take care of your responsibilities here. You know, some people I think have criticized this frame of mind thing there, and I don't know where it came from. Pastor Dave could probably recall, but there was a saying is, you know, don't be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good, something to that effect. They don't understand what frame of mind reflective thinking is. It's second level thinking. It's the operating, it's the things that affect your attitude. And so reflective thinking is simply, it's a framework of thoughts that affect your views and your attitudes. It's a lens for how you see things, how you interpret things. It contributes to your decision-making processes. And as I mentioned, you know, just for the role of communicating, I decided to do this. And so sometimes I'm going to refer to level one and level two, just to try and make a distinction between the two, because our level two thinking, it does affect our level one thinking. And when we're looking at the enemies, when they completely occupy our level one thinking, that can overwhelm our level two thinking. And so as we go forward, you'll see that. And so so our frame of mind, though, it does affect how we think, how we interpret. how we interpret, how we understand the things that we go through, how we see things, you know, the here and the now. And so this also, by the way, when we start thinking about this level two thinking on framing our mind, setting our reflective thinking on things above related to our position in Christ, this is tied ultimately to the Christian life, to our maturity level, and also to our ability to abide. You know, when we talk about abiding in Christ, you know, the word abide has the idea of remaining settled, being at ease. And so we have to abide in Christ and he in us, and we can produce fruit. And so this frame of mind is very important in carrying that out in practice, to being able to be at ease in our position in Christ and interpreting, seeing everything that we are going through as Christians through this lens. So when we talk about, and so the verb that we're talking about in Colossians 3:2 that I'm translating, it's your frame of mind, your reflective thinking, you know, the King James affection. I'm not going to use that in my translation, but it's the Greek verb phroneo. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of the nuances of this word so you can see this from scripture. But phroneo, it's a verb that occurs 29 times in the New Testament. And so I'm going to give you some lexical definitions, and you can kind of see that these are things that affect our attitude and our viewpoints. And so green, you know, a little, an important little lexicon, green says to be of opinion. To take thought, to be in a certain frame of mind. Similarly, Freiberg in his lexicon says, have an opinion, have an understanding, keep thinking about. He says, as having an attitude or a frame of mind, think in such a way, be inclined. And so you get a little bit of a hint here of you know, some of the nuance with this verb. Launida in their lexicon says to employ one's faculty for thoughtful planning with an emphasis upon the underlying disposition or attitude. To have an attitude, to think in a particular manner. And so these are all interesting definitions that I think can contribute to our understanding. They also suggest to keep on giving serious consideration to something, to ponder, to let one's mind dwell on. And so for instance, in Colossians 3:2, they suggest, you know, let your mind dwell on things above, which are above. Let your mind dwell on those. Some other definitions, to hold a view, have an opinion. It makes a reference to in Galatians 5:10. We could use that for an illustration. Let's go to Galatians 5:10. Take a look here. And so we'll read Galatians 5:9 just for a little bit of context. By the way, leaven in this context is dealing with bad doctrine. And so he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And he then in verse 10, he says, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. There's our word that phroneo translated minded. But, and so the idea is you're, and so what they suggest in this one lexicon is, he says, in the Lord, it makes me confident that you will not take a different view, kind of the idea is you can see that your frame of mind is going to affect your viewpoint. And he says that you will be none otherwise convinced minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment forever he shall be. So anyway, that's just one place we're going to illustrate the word. So we have 29 occurrences of the verb. I'm not going to spend a lot of time today. You know, we're not going to go after that verb. I'm just trying to show you what this frame of mind or reflecting thinking is and some of the nuances of it. Now, we do have a couple nouns of this verb. And so one of the nouns we have with a ma ending in the Greek. And it's like, okay, who cares? Well, some of our Greek students might care because the ma ending emphasizes the result of an action. So in other words, this noun with a phronema, it's the result of a frame of mind. So Launida for this word in their lexicon says, as a result of thinking, as a result of a mindset, as a result of a way of thinking. So with that understanding, let's go to Romans 8:5. And so here you can see the flesh. You know, when we're talking about the flesh in this context, we're talking about the sin nature. You know, the sin nature wants you to operate your first level thinking based upon the flesh, and typically it'll overwhelm your second level or your frame of mind thinking, your reflective thinking. In Romans 8:5, we have our verb phroneo. So let me read 5, and then we're going to have our noun in the next two verses. So in 8:5, Paul says, for they that are measured by or just according to the flesh, they do, and here, mind the flesh. And so that's our verb. They reflectively think. They set their frame of mind on things from the flesh. He says, but they that are measured by or just according to the spirit, we would supply the verb by ellipsis here. They reflectively think. They set their frame of mind, their viewpoint, in other words, is set, their outlook. It says they reflectively think the things from the spirit. Now we have the noun of this verb in these next two verses. And as I mentioned, the ma ending in the Greek, that emphasizes the result of an action. So our noun means to reflectively think, or with the ma ending, the idea of the result of a frame of mind is how I'm going to translate it. So coming to 8:6, he says, for to be carnally minded. Let me retranslate that to just emphasize the Greek. For the result of a frame of mind from the flesh is death. And just remember, it's a quality of death. Death has the concept of separation. And so the result of a frame of mind, a viewpoint, an outlook from the flesh is death. But to be spiritually minded, and so here's phronema again, but the result of a frame of mind from the spirit, an outlook, a viewpoint, a frame of mind from the spirit is life and peace. Now he's going to explain, and we have our noun one more time in 8:7. He says, because the carnal mind, and we'll just it's just the frame of mind from the flesh. That's how they just translate it, carnal mind, but it's phronema with flesh. It says, because the frame of mind from the flesh is enmity against God. This viewpoint, this outlook, this frame of mind from the flesh, it's enmity. It's hostile against God. And it says, for it is not subject to the law of God. It's not going to be arranged under the principle of God. It's impossible. And so it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Not able to. And so as we go forward, we're going to we'll try and look at the practicality of this framing our mind on things above related to our position in Christ. Ultimately, we'll see it's very important in our Christian life. It's very important to our maturity. It's very important if we're going to be living consistently victoriously over our spiritual enemies. So we do have another noun with a different ending. So we do have the noun with the cis ending. So I could ask my Greek students if, you know, where would you go to tell me what that is? What does that cis ending on a noun emphasize? And if you didn't know where to go, you would go to Metzger's. And he has a little list of the different endings and how they contribute to our understanding of the nouns. But the cis ending is emphasizing the action. And so so this is phronesis, and it occurs a couple times, but I'm just going to go to one place, just illustrate it in Luke 1:17. But just so you can hear some lexicon definitions, it has the idea of it's relating to the action of thinking. So relating to the action of this of a frame of mind. They also say it's a way of thinking, outlook. And so over in Luke 1:17, I'm just using this for an illustration. Now in this context, it's looking at John the Baptizer's birth being foretold. And so let me just drop into probably verse 16, but let me just get there first. We'll pick up in 1:15. You can see we're talking about John the Baptizer. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled, that's pimplany, by the way, filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the, not the children, but the sons of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom. And that's our word translated wisdom there, to the wisdom of the just. Now, it's interesting. This is phronesis. It's emphasizing the action of a frame of mind. I thought it was interesting that your New American Standard translates this word rather than wisdom, which we have other words for wisdom. They translate it attitude. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the just or the righteous. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So I just, I wanted to use that just to illustrate and to show you the importance of our reflective thinking, our frame of mind, to how we see things, to how, to our viewpoint, to our attitude, if you will. It's interesting. I was thinking about this over in Galatians 3, we're reminded about some things about our position in Christ. And so in Galatians 3, and you can see that this is tied to spirit baptism, because in Galatians 3:27, Paul says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. That's where the spirit baptism occurs. We're immersed into Christ. He says, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Now, in the next verse, in verse 28, we have some information about our position in Christ. Now, there's a Greek contraction here. So rather than translating it there, I would just translate it in him, in verse 28. In him, talking about in Christ, is neither Jew nor Greek. There's no racial distinctions in Christ. Isn't it interesting how the world wants to put so much focus on race? Do you think that that potentially could occupy your frame of mind if you let it? That could affect your attitude, your viewpoint. But in Christ, in him is neither Jew nor Greek, Jew or non-Jew. There's no racial distinction in Christ. There's neither bond nor free. You think that the world might focus a little bit on social distinctions? You know, how much money people make? Is that something that could occupy your second level thinking? Your frame of mind, what's operating in the background? And then we also hear, neither is there male nor female. Well, there's another one. Now, these are things that could easily become a primary focus, and that can affect your attitude. It can affect your viewpoint. But in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. It says, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so Scripture, the New Testament, is loaded with fantastic information about our position in Christ. And it's important for us to seek that out and to find that information. And then when we have that information, then there's some responsibility to keep setting our frame of mind and our reflective thinking on those things above related to our position in Christ. Let me illustrate for now, just one more time in Scripture. You can kind of see how this kind of affects our attitude, where our frame of mind is. And so I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 2. And this is our verb, by the way, for netto. Frame your mind, set your frame of mind, and things above. It's the same verb. So in Philippians 2, and we're going to have this verb used in Philippians 2:5. And in the King James, it's going to be translated mind. And so, but it has the idea of, you know, your frame of mind. So now, for context, let me back up to Philippians 2:4. It says, look not everyone on his own things. Don't see just your own things, but rather everyone also on the things of others. Now he says, let this mind be in you. And this is this frame of mind in this. So, and I believe the New American Standard actually translates this here, attitude. Let this mind or attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so again, I'm just using this to illustrate how this frame of mind does come back, and it affects how we, it affects our attitude and how we view things, how we see things, but it affects our attitude. And so let this frame of mind be in you. You know, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so, as we come back to the series we're beginning, I guess, today, Things Above, we're going to keep seeking. We're going to try and find and seek the information in Scripture, since we're co-raised with Christ. And then we're going to go through that in this series. And then the purpose for that, though, is for us, is so that we can keep setting our frame of mind on these things. And it's going to give us stability. It's going to help us to see things more and more the way God sees things. And it's going to also help us to get our thinking in the proper place so that we can let God do the changing, the transforming. And so as we go forward, we'll try and bring in more things. Hopefully that'll make this practical. This is as practical as it gets. this is what growing by grace is all about. Because these things that are attributed to us in our position in Christ, these are things that we couldn't earn. We didn't earn. These things were graciously provided us, accounted to us, reckoned to us, because we're in Christ. And so let's go ahead. I could continue on, but I think I'd rather stop a little early than go over today. So next week we're going to come back. We're going to continue to introduce this for a couple weeks before I actually start dropping into the 30-something things that we have. So Father, thank you for this day again. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the practicality of it. We're grateful for these truths. We're thankful for the opportunity to be with one another. Just may you continue to encourage us and grow us by grace. And we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.